Any of you who find that you really enjoy storytelling, I would like to mention that the last weekend in July in Spring Grove, Illinois, there is a festival. Children under 12 are free. I'll just mention that to all you parents. And it's called the Illinois Storytelling Festival. Have any of you ever gone? I know you have. All right, put your hand up. When I found out I was telling here, I didn't realize that Dusty had attended your church a number of times. He's also a storyteller from the Illinois Storytelling Festival. And we would love to have you all come. There are four tents, a children's tent, an adult tent, a general tent, and then a traditions tent where everyone can come and just share their memories of growing up or World War whatever or the first time you ever rode in a train, all of those things. It's a wonderful family event, and I hope that some of you would be able to come. The next story that I have is from the Native Americans. It's called How the Stars Got in the Sky. Do you ever wonder how the stars got in the sky? This is the way the Indians think that the stars got in the sky. And I learned this story from a white man who had been adopted into a tribe in Michigan, in Wisconsin. He has taken on all of the Native American ways, and the people thought so much of him that they have given him also a Native American name. And he gave me permission to tell the story. Long ago, in the sky, there was only the sun and the moon. And on the nights when the moon didn't shine, it was very dark indeed. Well, all of the animals got together and decided they were going to go to the Creator to see if he could help with the problem. Well, when they arrived, the Creator said, "I will help you, but first you must do something. All of you are to go down to the lake and gather stones. Now, not round stones like the moon, but jagged stones. And when you have got as many as you can carry, bring them to me, and then I will help you." And so, all the animals went to the lake, all except Coyote, because Coyote was lazy, and he was asleep. So all the animals gathered as many stones as they could carry. The large animals had a great many stones. And the little animals like Grasshopper and Bumblebee, they could only carry one. But they all brought them to the feet of the Creator, all except Coyote, because he was lazy and he was asleep. So the Creator looked over all the stones that were brought and chose one, not too large, and reached up and placed it in the sky. And when he did, it began to twinkle. And he said, "This I will call a star, and this one a special star, a homing star, the North Star. And this evening, all of you animals are going to go off the edge of the earth into the sky to make your pictures with stars." And so, that evening, all of the animals gathered their stones and they walked off the edge of the world into the sky to make their pictures with the brilliant dots that would turn into stars. They all went except Coyote, because he was lazy and he was asleep. Well, after all the animals had gone, the Creator called to Coyote. He said, "Coyote, come on now, get up. Enough of this being lazy. Come on over here, I have a job for you." And Coyote, he yawned and he got up and he dragged himself to the presence of the Creator and said, "Yes, what do you need me to do?" And the Creator said, "Well, all of the animals have gone off the edge of the earth to make pictures in the sky, but some of them can't carry very many stones. I want you to take this great big bag of stones into the sky, and when any of the other animals need them, then you give them the extras that they need." Well, Coyote was lazy, and he took one look at that bag and thought, "Oh, I don't want to do that." But you don't argue with the Creator. And so he said he would, and he got up and he took that heavy bag and put it on his back, and he walked off the edge of the earth into the sky. Well, he hadn't gone very far when that bag started to feel very heavy. And so he looked one way, and then he looked the other, and he put that big bag down, and then he dug both paws in and threw a whole bunch of stones behind him one way and a whole bunch the other way. And of course, as soon as they hit the sky, they all began to twinkle behind him. And then he picked that bag up, put it on his back again. Well, it wasn't so heavy now. So he walked a little further and a little further, but that bag began to feel heavy again. And he looked one way, and he looked the other way. And then he put that bag down, and he dug in again. Flung one paw full of stones one way, one the other way. And no one had seen him, but the sky was getting brighter behind him. He put that bag right up back on his back, walked a little further. Well, it felt good for about a minute or two, and then Lazy Coyote, he just couldn't stand it anymore. He looked one way, he looked the other, then he put that bag down, opened it real wide, and like a puppy digging a hole, he just dug all of those stones right out of that bag until he got right down to the bottom. And all those stones started sparkling behind him. Then he took that bag, made sure it was empty, folded it up, made a little pillow, pulled up a comfortable cloud, laid down, and went to sleep. Well, pretty soon the animals were running out of stones. They started calling, "Coyote, we need some more stones over here. Right over, where are you, Coyote?" Well, Coyote didn't hear them because he was lazy and he was asleep. Well, the first rays of morning started peeking over the edge of the earth, and all the animals had to scurry back onto the earth before day broke. Some of them had to leave their pictures half done. Some had only had one stone they could just put up in the sky. A few were finished, like the swan. And finally, when a ray of light hit Coyote in the eye, he woke up and he realized he too had to hurry back onto earth. So he did. But that night, when he looked up at the sky, that's when he learned how to howl. Because he saw all the other animals with their pictures in the sky, and his wasn't there. Because he'd been lazy, and he had been asleep. And that's the story of how all the stars got in the sky. Well, some of my favorite kinds of stories are stories where the audience gets to help a little bit. And this is a story that has a tiger, and I need you to be the tiger. Now, this tiger keeps changing his mind about things. Sometimes you're going to say, "That's good," said Tiger. Can I hear you say that?
"That's good," said Tiger.
And sometimes that tiger changes his mind and he says, "That's bad," said Tiger.
"That's bad," said Tiger.
All right, well, let's see what keeps flipping this tiger back and forth, shall we? Boy was sitting on a big rock in the middle of the jungle, just sitting, when along came Tiger. "Run, boy," said Tiger. "Run, and then I will chase you, and I will catch you, and then I will eat you. So run," said Tiger. "Well," said Boy, "eat me then. I have no run left in me." "What? You won't run? Tell me why you won't run, and then I will eat you," said Tiger. said Tiger. Well, it's like this, said the boy. I was walking, just walking in the jungle when I bumped into Rhino. You know what a rhino is, don't you? A great, big animal with a horn. Or Rhino bumped into me. I was willing to forget it, but not Rhino. So he got mad and I ran away from there fast. Now this is where you say, that's good, said Tiger.
That's good, said Tiger.
Well, I ran and I ran and I ran and I ran, but all the while there was Rhino running right after me. He can't see very well, but boy, can he run fast.
That's bad, said Tiger.
Well, I ran and I ran and I ran and I ran until I found a low tree. And I climbed up in that tree and I sat on a branch. And Rhino, he ran right under me and he kept right on going.
That's good, said Tiger.
But he came back looking for me.
That's bad, said Tiger.
So I got down and I picked up a stone and I threw it at Rhino to scare him away.
That's good, said Tiger.
But it didn't scare him away.
That's bad, said Tiger.
So I got down and I ran a little more, a little slower now because I was so tired, but whew, at least Rhino was getting tired too.
That's good, said Tiger.
And then I was running and I tripped into a shallow ditch right in front of Rhino.
That's bad, said Tiger.
Well, but Rhino was going so fast this time, he ran right over me.
That's good, said Tiger.
But I got up and there was Rhino right there back again.
That's bad, said Tiger.
So I ran and I ran until I saw a vine, and I grabbed the vine and I swung across the river to the other side.
That's good, said Tiger.
But on the other side was Crocodile with his mouth wide open.
That's bad, said Tiger.
So I swang back and I let go of the vine and I landed with a thump and I didn't see Rhino anywhere.
That's good, said Tiger.
So I got down and then I realized I had been on Rhino's back.
That's bad, said Tiger.
So I got behind a tree and I picked up another stone and I threw it just as far as I could. Rhino can't see very well, but he heard that stone and he ran off after it.
That's good, said Tiger.
And then Tiger said, and so then you ran away and you got away from Rhino? And Boy said, well, no, I was so tired, I just sat down here, and now I'm going to get behind this big stone because here comes Rhino now!
That's bad, said Tiger.
And he took off running fast, and the little boy got up, not tired anymore, and he ran away home as fast as his little brown legs would carry him. And that's good. That's bad is the name of that story. Now, I know storytelling is a new thing for a lot of you, but if you do have enjoyment of it, I hope you will join us another time at the Storytelling Festival. I have one more story for you. And how many of you already know the story of the Frog Prince? The Frog Prince? The prince who is turned into a frog by a witch, and then in order to... Is it reminding you of someone you know? And then in order to regain his form, he has to be kissed by a beautiful princess. You've all heard that story, I'm sure. Well, this is the story of the other frog prince. It was a beautiful day at the pond. But the frog prince, who was sitting on his lily pad in the middle of the pond, oh, was he lonely. I mean, the birds were flying above him. The fish were swimming below him. But no one was paying a bit of attention to him. When, who should he see walking along the path with a book under her arm but the most beautiful princess he had ever seen? "Well, finally a little company," he said to himself. And he took off his little gold crown, put it next to him on the lily pad, hopped into the water, and swam across, poking his little head up through the reeds. "Oh, pardon me, beautiful princess," he said in his most pitiful and pathetic voice. "But I was wondering if you could help me." Well, the princess was quite surprised to be spoken to by a frog, but she felt so sorry for his pitiful and pathetic voice that she said, "Why, you dear little frog, whatever can I do to help you?" And he said, "Oh, well, you see, I am not really a frog. I am really a handsome prince who has been turned into a frog by the spell of a wicked witch. And in order to break the spell, I must be kissed by a beautiful princess." Well, somehow the princess had the feeling that he was gonna say that. But she looked down at him and felt so sorry for him. And she thought, "Well, what do I have to lose?" And so she reached down and she picked him up and she brought him right up close to her face. And she closed her eyes and she gave him a great big kiss. You want to help me make kiss sounds? Okay, here we go. But when she opened her eyes, she was surprised to see the frog still sitting there with a great big smile on his face. And he said, "Nice kiss, sweetie. I was just kidding about the prince part." Ta-ta. And he hopped into the water. And she wiped the frog slime off her lips. Ugh. And that's the story of the other frog. Thank you very much. There are a couple of other storytelling events that I'd just like to share with you. One is in Elgin tomorrow evening. Jim May is going to be doing some stories for a church group there. And it's a public occasion, and you'd all be welcome. I'll leave some flyers for you here if you'd like them. And next Saturday at the McHenry County Conservation District, which isn't really all that far, Rosalie Sorrells, who is a well-known folk singer and storyteller, will be doing a program and at 7:30, and you'd all be welcome to come. We'd love to have you there. So I thank you very much. If any of you have occasions to use storytellers, I'd be happy to talk with you or to find you an appropriate storyteller for any other group you might belong to. Thank you very much.